Good evening and welcome to Women to Women. It's great to be back with you all. I wonder if you had a good week, a bad week, not so sure week. Regardless of what kind of week you've had so far, we are here tonight. We're here to praise and worship God. We're here to declare that He is good and He is worthy to be praised. So we are already in week four of our last series of 2023. Week four of our last series of 2023. I can hardly believe it. We are looking at how to grow our faith because this year we've been looking at faith. We've been looking at the faith of those heroes and those heroines, those men and women of God that have ran their race, that have gone on to glory. They ran their race well, and we have been studying them this whole year. And we've been looking at their lives and being inspired by how they did it, how they held on, how they persevered, how they failed at times and fell, but they got back up again, and how they kept on running. And they are now in heaven with Jesus. And they have ran their race. And we have looked at their race and we've asked the question, well, how do I run my race of faith? So in this last series of the year, that's what we've been concentrating on, our own faith. How we can grow our faith. And that's the good news, ladies, that we can grow it. So if you feel like it's teeny, teeny, tiny right now, that's okay. Because you can grow your faith, you can stretch your faith, you can apply those wonderful things that we've been looking at so far in the series. So there's five ways in this series to grow your faith. Mary's already introduced to us this evening the three that we've looked at so far. Number one, practical teaching. The paint's no good staying in the paint tin. No, we need to open up the paint tin and then we need to apply it, we need to stir it, and then we need to apply it onto the walls to get the full effect. Somebody said at Heart Hill on Tuesday night, it's a bit like lipstick in a lipstick tube. Who loves their lipstick? Yes, I do. Lipstick is only going to take effect if you open up the tube and you put it on, you apply it, so you can look at it any way you like. But what we're talking about here is the Word of God. It will take root. It will capture your attention. It will inspire you. It will change you. It will transform you if you not only read it, but apply it to your life. So that's what we looked at in week one, and I hope that you've been enjoying your daily devotional reading. We then moved on and we talked about those wonderful providential relationships in our life. And that was lovely what Mary had shared at the beginning this evening, and how these relationships really impact our life. And we give thanks to God for those beautiful relationships, those people that He's brought into our life. But we also encouraged you that evening to consider the people that are in your life right now, or the people that are going to be in your life tomorrow. They actually haven't met yet, but God is preparing you. Because He's going to bring them into your life. He's going to bring them into your office. He's going to bring them into your school. He's going to bring them into your church. They're going to move into the house next door to you. They're going to go to the same gym class as you. And you are to be there as a beautiful light in their darkness. You are to be there to encourage them in the way that Mary and I encouraged each other that day, all those years ago. Was it really as long ago as that? My goodness. So consider the people that are either in your life right now or going to be in your life soon. And God is preparing you for those moments. He's going to give you the words to speak. You're going to turn up at that exact moment, at that exact time. And it's going to be a God-ordained appointment and you're going to know. They might not know, but you're going to know instantly. This person, they're not in my life by accident. No way. So then we moved on and we looked at that dreaded word, discipline. And even when I said the word discipline last week, everybody kind of went, in all three groups, by the way, everybody went, oh. I hope that came across in the recording. It was a big, oh. Nobody likes discipline. Nobody likes hard work. It takes sacrifice, takes hard work. But as we heard last week, there are so many treasures awaiting those who invest their time in worship with God. So whether it's praying more, trying out different positions in prayer, getting down on your knees, praying out loud, praying in tongues, singing in tongues, whether it's reading your Bible, journaling, meditating on the Word of God, whether it's giving, whether it's having communion, that the God is stretching you, He's calling you to step out in faith. Go deeper and more intimate in your private devotion time with Him. And I'm hoping that you're having a wonderful time at the moment. I've already received a few messages where God is really working in the hearts of many of the women here as they go deeper in their private devotional time. So we're going to move on this evening, and we are going to look at number four and how to grow our faith. So we're going to look at how to grow our faith through personal ministry. Personal ministry. That's number four if you're taking notes. So before we look at what personal ministry is, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been involved in something which initially you felt was above you, that you immediately felt unqualified for or inexperienced? How did it make you feel? Did you feel that the task was too big for you, that the shoes that you were asked to fill were too big for you? Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking now, you're pondering a time where you felt that way. Maybe you're here this evening and that's exactly how you feel right now. That you feel like the task is too big for you. That you feel inadequate. That you have a few doubts over whether or not you can do it. In fact, maybe the whole thought of it makes you feel sick. When you feel like you're out your depth and you're just incapable of doing it, and you have to dig really deep to be able to get yourself moving. Well, let me encourage you this evening that if you are in that place, it's not a bad place, actually, because if it's to do with your personal ministry, and when we approach it feeling that way, but then we look to Jesus to help us through it, actually, what happens is it grows your faith. It grows your faith. It builds spiritual muscle. This kind of stepping out, stepping into the water, trusting God when you're really not feeling that confident in your own ability. Ladies, that builds your faith. It builds your faith. I know I've shared this before, but I will never forget the way I felt leading up to the first ladies' conference that I had ever spoken at. I'd never spoken in front of hundreds of women before. I'd never preached before. I hadn't been taught how to preach. I hadn't been to Bible school. Nobody told me how to do a 3-point sermon. I hadn't learned any of that stuff. A woman invited me to speak. She said she had a dream. And in the dream, she said that the Lord had spoken to her and told her that I was the person that she was to ask. Now, here's the thing. That was growing her faith because I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't a pastor. So she had to step out. She had to tell the committee or the people that she was serving alongside, I'm going to choose that wee woman there. And I'm almost certain she'd have got a few funny looks. I'm almost certain that a few people would have said to her, "Her? What's she done? Where did she come from?" A bit like they said about Jesus, where he came from, you know? And she stepped out in faith and she trusted that God had spoken to her. And then she came to me. Just so happened that God had been prompting me. He'd been nudging me during my private discipline time. Do you see what I did there? He'd been speaking to me about the fact that he was going to actually push me out of my comfort zone. And that he was calling me into ministry. I just didn't know what it was. And so the two coming togethers was part of God's plan. But that didn't take away the fact, ladies, that in the week leading up to it, I was as sick as a pig. And I got less hours of sleep as the nights went by leading up to it. I was crippled with inadequacy. I had to dig deep. I had to dig deep down somewhere where I never even knew existed. A whole host of conversations went on between myself and God. Why pick me? Why would you use me? I am this. I am that. Here's the thing. When we feel this way, and we step out anyway and we trust God, it builds our faith. So we're going to look at personal ministry tonight. Your ministry. I've just shared about how I got started. But we're looking at your ministry tonight. You're maybe thinking, yeah, I understand. I can see your ministry. Debbie, that's quite evident. But let me tell you something. You all have a ministry. You do. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the women-to-women core leaders. It's not just the Sunday school teachers. God has gifted each and every one of you uniquely. You have something quite exceptional to share with the world around you, within your sphere of influence. You have a part to play. Now, if personal ministry, if you don't like that title, let me just change it slightly in a way that it might help you tonight, and let me replace it with the word serving. We have all been called by God to serve the kingdom of God. So I want us to think tonight about what God might be calling you into. Now, you may already have an inkling. You may already have a sparkle about what that is. And you might not feel qualified yet. That's okay. Because the Bible is full of stories of men and women that asked God, that God did amazing things in and through their life. And they asked God, why would you pick me? Why would you pick me, God? And God did do amazing things in and through their life. And it grew their faith. As we step out, not in our own power, not in our own strength, but as in His mighty power and strength, it is in those occasions of our life where we see the mighty hand of God at work. You see, it's not in our power and in our strength, but it's in the power and the strength that He supplies us with. And when we see that at work within our life, when you think, I can't do this, and then He gives you the strength to do it, it builds your faith. So let's think of our own lives for a minute. Is there an area of ministry within your church or within your community, within your workplace, within your home? Doesn't need to be within the four walls of the church, actually. Where God is leading you. God has been nudging you in a particular area of ministry. You're maybe thinking, well, how do I know? Well, let me tell you how it starts. It starts with a flame. It's like someone like flicking a match or a lighter on inside of your heart where a passion starts to stir. So for instance, you see somebody else perhaps engaged in that role. You see somebody else doing that particular service and there's something inside of you that goes, oh, I'd love to do that. Or there's something inside of you that just makes you sit up and pay attention when you see someone else talking about this kind of thing. Or you go along to something, somebody's giving a presentation and you think, that really excites me. That really, really makes me want to sit up and pay attention. Or that I really care about that particular thing. Or it causes you to weep. It causes you to weep because your heart cares so much for it. I had a moment like that earlier on today. Because your heart is just pulled towards it. Now you might think, oh, everybody feels that way about this. No, they don't. Yeah, they might feel that same way, but it might not be for that one thing. It might not be for that project. It might not be for that group of people that need help. It might not be for the young. It might not be for the elder. It might be for something else. But where does your passion lie? What gets you excited? Maybe at the minute you feel that it's beyond you, that it's bigger than you. Well, if you do feel like that, that it's beyond you and it's bigger than you, then don't stress. It's not such a bad place to be. As many, many great things that I've achieved through my life and many great things that the men and women in the Bible have achieved through their life was during times where they stepped out when their knees were knocking and their lips were quivering, where their heart was beating out the chest, where they were hoping that those around them didn't see just how terrified they were on the inside. That week leading up to that conference, I've never felt so sick in my whole entire life other than in pregnancy. I was so nervous. And when I started to speak, I continued to be nervous. And even after it, for 3 days later, I was still feeling nervous. But here's the thing, kept on going. Now, does that mean that I stand up here tonight and today and I'm like, this is like a walk in the park, this is breeze, this is easy, my life is easy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. My life is not easy. It's not easy right now. It's tough right now, actually. But let me tell you something else. The nerves don't go away. Still get nervous. I still have to rely on God. Because see that moment where their nerves stop? See that moment where that fire goes out? That's the time to stop. So I praise God that I still get nervous. And I praise God that I still get excited. And I praise God because it means that what I'm doing is so important. It's so vitally important in the kingdom of God. And we never want to lose it. We never want that fire to go out. So it's good at times that we sometimes feel a wee bit out of depth. Because what we do in those moments is we say, Jesus, help me. Lord, strengthen me. I can't do this tonight. I don't have the strength. I don't have the heart. But God, would you give me your heart? And that's when he comes in and he swoops in and he helps us out. And we know, because we know, because we know that we have done it because he has enabled us. What has he enabled you to do this week? Maybe it was just to get out your bed. Hallelujah that you did. He enabled you just to do that. It's moments like these in our life that build our faith. So we're going to turn and we'll look at some scripture now, shall we? Let's look at the disciples at work serving. Let's look at the disciples as they performed ministry. So Matthew chapter 14 verses 13 to 17, you know it well. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Doesn't do this just once. There's a couple of times that he does this, but this is the one we're going to read just now. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So he's had some bad news. He needed to get away, and he takes himself off to a solitary place. However, he didn't get any peace and quiet for long because hearing of this, the crowds followed. Because at this particular time, everywhere that Jesus went, the crowds followed. There was a frenetic atmosphere. Folk just wanted to hear what he had to say because it wasn't just words that he was speaking. He was speaking life. And people needed to hear the words of life. And people today are still in the world today are looking for words of life. And they're looking for life. They're looking for signs of hope and life. So they were following him and on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a lot, that makes me laugh that bit. Because you think of a plane landing. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Amen. And as evening approached, so he's there, he's speaking, he's healing, he's ministering. Who's with him? The disciples are there. They're ministering. They're helping him out. They're there, his core leaders team. They're all mucking in. They're getting involved. And it's been all day. And before they know it, evening has landed. And it's evening's approach. And the disciples came to him and they said, this is a remote place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And then the disciples replied, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's how they answered. May God bless the reading. You know the story. So Jesus is teaching the multitudes. We see him doing it throughout his early ministry. They've come out to hear him. They've come expectant. They're expecting to hear words of life. They're expecting to be fed on the words. But while they've been there waiting to be fed on the word, their wee tummies are now starting to rumble because time has passed. They've probably not even noticed that time has passed because they've been enjoying the teaching so much, just like you this evening. You don't realize that it's 20 past 8 already because you're enjoying it so much. But in that time and where they've been listening to the teaching, they're now starting to get a wee bit agitated, a wee bit hangry because they're hungry. They're hungry and they're looking for some dinner. So the disciples come to Jesus and they basically start complaining. Okay? They're complaining. Now here, what's happened is the men and the women and the children, they haven't gone to Jesus. They're not going to go to the main man and go, by the way, I'm starving. But they'll have gone to the disciples. And they'll have said to the disciples, you do something about that. We've come here to listen to your main guy, and we're actually really hungry now, and there isn't any food. So what they have done is they have come to the disciples, and they have complained. And then what the disciples have done is they have gone to the main man. They have gone to Jesus. Now, they have not gone to Jesus to complain about the fact that these guys were hungry. They have come to Jesus to complain about the people. Haven't they? They're moaning at the fact they've got no got anything to eat, Jesus. That's basically what they were saying, weren't they? I wonder if that's how you feel tonight. You're starving. You're starving. You're in need this evening. And well, they come to Jesus. The disciples come and he says to them, well, what do you have? What have you got to give them? What do the disciples say? I've not got anything. I've got nothing. I have got nothing to give. I wonder if that's how you feel, that you've got nothing to give, that you've got nothing to offer, that you may as well put your coat on and go home and give up. Perhaps you're here and that's how you feel. You feel redundant, that there's no need for you, surplus to requirement. There may be a variety of reasons why you feel that way. So they come to Jesus and they complain and they bring their excuses to Jesus. Not the first time that we see this in Scripture where the people complain to God, just like Moses did. When God called Moses in the burning bush. Come on, that doesn't happen every day. God speaks to Moses. He shows up to Moses. He speaks to him. He says, this is your commission. This is your mission. Go, lead the people out of Egypt. Lead them out of slavery. Set the people free. And what does he say? Moses says unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. What's he saying? I'm not doing it. I can't do that. I've not got the words to speak. I'm not capable. I'm not good enough. That's what he's saying. God is staring you right in the face. And you're saying, no, not for me. I can't do that. And maybe these are words that you've spoken also. I'm not good enough. It's not my job. Somebody else will do it. I'm not qualified. I'm not experienced. I'm a divorcee. I wear lipstick. I wear high heels. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't know enough scripture. I've not been a Christian long enough, etc., etc. I've suffered with this condition. You know, when we consider the story and their excuses, what do you think? God himself has shown up. He's in a burning bush, for goodness sake. He's telling you, go. This is my plan for you. And you say, I can't do it. And you know, that's exactly what the disciples were saying. We can't do this. Here's a problem. Here's a job that needs done. We can't do this, Jesus. But what they failed to see, that it wasn't so much about what they didn't have, but more to do with the fact that who they were with. Moses was with God. The disciples were with Jesus. The one that they had let go of their nets and given up their jobs to follow. They were with Jesus. Who you're with makes all the difference when you're standing there saying, I don't have anything, or I've got nothing to bring, or I've got nothing to bring to this situation. But actually, you do have something. You have Jesus. He is with you, and he has the power, and he has the ability to transform the situation. He has the power, and he has the ability to transform you. So where you lack, he is the one that can fill it. He is the one that can provide for it, just as we see him do here. You see, they failed to see this initially. There was less to do with what they didn't have and more to do with who they were with. He can empower you. So often we spend our time deliberating over what we don't have, we fail to see what we actually do have. Let me ask you the question this evening. Do you have Jesus? If the answer is yes, then you have all you will ever need. So let's read on, 17 to 21. So he says, what do you have? We have nothing. But what do you really have? Okay, then, we've got 5 loaves of bread and we've got 2 fish, they answered. We heard it preached many times. They had a little boy's packed lunch. Now, I don't know if they actually had a little boy's packed lunch, but you hear preachers talking about it. But I think it's to try and explain the fact that that was all it was. Just a wee packed lunch amount. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. What's he doing? Praying. Gave thanks. He broke the loaves. That's what we do when we have communion in our private discipline time. Then he gave them to the disciples. Lock that in. And the disciples gave them to the people. And we love this bit. They all ate. They all ate. 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, plus disciples. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples, what did they do at the end? They picked up 12 baskets. 12 baskets full leftovers. They're only left over because nobody wants to eat them because their bellies are all full. That's how much they were satisfied. And the number of those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. What an amazing miracle. We love this story. It's a fantastic story. We never get tired hearing this story, even though we heard it in Sunday school. So they initially believed they had nothing. But what did they have? Well, even though they were saying that they had nothing, that wasn't actually true. Yes, they had bread and fish because they actually had a little bit of bread and fish. But they also had Jesus. And Jesus took what they had. He took what little that they had and he multiplied it over and over and over again. Can I suggest tonight that you offer to God what little you have and watch him perform a miracle in your life? Give to him all that you have. Even if you're saying, this is all I've got to offer God, give him it. I can't get out the house very much these days. This is all I can do. All I can do is sit in and pray. Give that to Jesus and watch him transform the world through your prayers. Give to God what you do have and allow him to multiply it because he sees what you offer up as a sacrifice of praise. He wants to use you, you see. You are part of the process. He wanted the disciples to get involved. Why? Because you've been called for a purpose. Do you believe it? Here's the thing. He could have said, okie dokie, roll up, roll up. Here's the baskets full of food. Come and get it. Now, that would have been absolute chaos. I'd have been first in there for a bit of mackerel. I would have. As long as it had a crispy skin, I'd have been really happy with that. And there would have been a crowd of them all come down, but he could have done that. He could have gone round. He could have handed it out himself, but he didn't. He chose to do something very different. What did he say to the disciples? He said, disciple Jane, here. You're supposed to catch it. Catch it. He's like, come on over here to Michelle. Michelle, disciple Michelle. Catching it. Angela, this is for you. Go. Linda, here's your basket. Go. Receive it. And what did they do? They got involved. They handed it out because they were part of the process of serving. It was so important that they got involved in the distribution of this food because God is calling you to step up. And he's calling you to get involved in whatever area it is. I don't know what it is, but whatever area it is that he's calling you into. It could be in church. Yes, it could be out with church. It could be within your community. It could be part of a community group that you're involved in. It could just be starting with your own family. He wants to use you. God performed the miracle, but they had to step up and serve. Don't you love that? The job's not going to get done if we just sit around and wait for God to physically do it. Yes, he can do it. He can do anything. But he gets us involved. Think about that. He wants to use us. Why though? Because it builds our faith. Because when you step out, when you step up and you trust God, even though your knees are knocking and your lip is quivering, it strengthens your faith. So finally, what is God calling you into? You might already have an idea. Can I encourage you to pray into it? Allow us to pray with you and for you. Where have you been sitting around unwilling to try because you've allowed fear and doubt and inadequacy to set in? God is here. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And he is saying, I have called you for such a time as this. I want to use you. I want to use you. You may feel unqualified. That's okay. That doesn't disqualify you. Feeling unqualified does not disqualify you. Did you get that? We do it anyway. Because he equips those whom he calls. Because all you need is him. If you are walking with Jesus, let me encourage you tonight. He is all that you will ever need. He will supply you with the strength, the knowledge, the power, the wisdom. He will create the opportunities. He will bring the people into your life. He will bring the resources that you need. All you need to do, like Isaiah, is come to him and say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. That was all I prayed. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. Fill me up. Send me wherever you want, except China. Send me wherever. No, if you want me to go to China, that's fine. But, you know, I'm here. Who would do Thursday nights? Anyway. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel for Jesus. Is that your prayer tonight? Well, that's all he needs, is a willing, obedient heart. Someone that will say, yes, I'm in. I am all in. And I'll go wherever you'll send me. So let me close tonight with the words of Paul. And I hope they encourage you tonight if you came in feeling maybe a little inadequate. Maybe feeling a wee bit out your comfort zone. Maybe thinking, I don't know if I can do this. Well, let me remind you of these words. Paul said, that the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power, not our power, that Christ's power may rest on me. We can do it because he can do it. We have the power because he gives us the power. He is the one that will lead and guide you. He is the one that is at work within you. So trust him. And as you step out in his power and strength, let me tell you something, that will grow your faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this series. We thank you for all that you're teaching us and all that we've been learning. Lord God, we're inspired, Father God, by these stories. We're inspired by these 5 points because, Lord God, that was our prayer, that we want to know you more. We want to live for you, Lord. We want to grow our faith. We want to have that big, bold, courageous faith in the days in which we're living in today because we know that we can't do nothing without it. You are our everything. And we thank you, Father God, that even though there are times where our knees are knocking and we're filled with fear, we're filled with inadequacy, we thank you, Lord God, that even though we feel that way, that you still give us opportunities and allow us to try. Lord, it's better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. So, Father God, we thank you that you give us these opportunities to go deeper with you, to go further with you, to go higher with you. Lord God, we're so grateful, Father God, that you do want to use us. And even though we feel flawed, and even though we've got past, and even though that we've sinned, Lord God, that you're not seeing us as our sin. You're not seeing us our past. You see the potential within us, the potential for greater things, the greater things that you've already ordained for us, Lord God. So we ask you now, by your Spirit, that you would not allow us to be fearful any longer, but to trust in your mighty power, that is at work within us. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would release your daughters now by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would release them now into the harvest field, Lord God, because you are looking for workers. You're looking for servants to just go forth and multiply. You're looking for servants that will go forth and speak the gospel in love. You're looking for servants that will go and come alongside the hungry and the poor and the needy and the hurting, Lord God. So Father God, I pray by your Spirit right now that you would release your children right now into their harvest field. Would you equip them, Father God, for the work in which you have called them to do? And Lord God, as they go, may their faith go from strength to strength to strength. So Father God, as we leave this place now, may the power of the Lord Jesus Christ rest upon you and be with you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much.